Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
God changes kids from the inside. We, in turn, equip kids by teaching, by training, by loving, by discipline. That's our job. To say, my son, my daughter is in the hand of God. Is that stable enough for everybody? That you're in the hand of God, my son and my daughter is in the hand of God.
The truth is, children thrive when they grow up in a stable home. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares the rest of his message, Thou Shalt Provide Stability and Security, with more proven truth from God's Word to help you build a strong and stable foundation for the rest of a child's life. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want to help prepare you for life's greatest challenge and most important calling by sending you Dr. Ed Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting. In words that are clear, simple, and sometimes humorous, Dr. Young draws from decades of counseling and raising his own children to show you how to lay a biblical foundation upon which your family can thrive. We'll send you the Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Thou Shalt Provide Stability and Security, Part 2.
It's like taking a fire hose of spiritual truth and pouring it into that son and that daughter, and by the time they get 6 years of age, they better understand fully all the understanding of eschatology, or you haven't really trained them properly in the Word of God. That's what I call the full court press way of bringing up children. That's one extreme. There's another extreme. I call it the cafeteria approach to parenting. I want to build a spiritual foundation, my children. It's like you go in a cafeteria and you get a salad, you put plenty of Roquefort dressing on it, and well, you might as well put some Thousand Island on it as well. It looks so good today. And you move in and say, I'm going to get a big steak, and you get a steak, and they pour all of that gravy over that steak. I mean, pour it all over there. Give me a baked potato. I want sour cream. I want bacon. Put some butter on as well. Give me a big hunk of bread and just cover it with fresh butter. And, oh, yeah, can you heat that apple pie and put 3 scoops of Bluebell on it? And you go out to pay to the cafeteria. You look back and say, you know, they say broccoli's good for you. Give me a little bowl of broccoli. Okay, you put the broccoli on there and you go out and that's what you eat. A lot of people approach bringing up their kids the same way. They say, I want my kids to have a social life. I want them to have a good education. I want them to have a lot of fun. I want them to travel. I want them to have good friends. I want them to be involved in a lot of hobbies, a lot of extracurricular things. And I want them to have a taste of all that's good and fine and wholesome and wonderful in life. Oh, by the way, I want a little broccoli. I want a little God. Let's put a little dash of God and let them be sort of a part of the church and go to a beach retreat or go to a camp. But I want them to have a little God in all of this, and that's a pretty good balanced meal, isn't it? A little broccoli, a little God. It's the dash of God approach that a lot of parents are trying and say, well, that's how I'm going to build spiritual foundation for my kids. There's another approach. I call it the wisdom approach. Have you ever read in James chapter 1? And James says very clearly, if you need wisdom, ask God for it. Isn't that great? And I ask God, Lord, give me wisdom. I don't have wisdom. And we pray for wisdom. And it is the wisdom approach to bring up the children. And two things are basically involved in this. Number one is what I call teachable moments. And by the way, that's what Deuteronomy 6 means. It's not that you cram it down their throat, a full court press, morning, noon, and night, and every activity. Deuteronomy 6 means, I believe, that you find those teachable moments in the morning and at night and at mealtime when they're walking around. And you use teachable moments to build in the principles of God in the lives of your sons and your daughters. When they tell the first thing that's not true, teachable moment. When they are injured, teachable moment. And all the way through the years, there are teachable moments. When you sit down to eat, you're teaching them that God made this world. You're teaching them that the principles of God are built in the fabric of creation. The Bible says, whatsoever man sows, that he will also reap. Is that true because in the Bible? No, it's true whether it's in the Bible or not. What you sow, you reap. Bread cast on the water comes back later in many fold. Is that true because of the Bible? No, it's true. We see that in life. So all of this stuff we read about in the Bible, it is true. Thou shalt not kill. Is that a commandment? Oh, we can't kill because it's in the Bible. No, it's built in the fabric of civilization. And all of a sudden, we lead them to see the truth of God's word is valid, it's real, it's relevant, it's alive, it's practical. And we use those teachable moments all the way through their life. And as they get to be older, as they get to be teenagers, you have multiple teachable moments. I'll give you just one illustration. If I had a son, a daughter, a teenager now, and they watch the presidential debates, and how the questions have been cast in those debates has been very, very interesting to me. And I would ask my kids a question like this as a teachable moment. I would ask them something like, well, just imagine that you are a part of that debate, and the one asking the question would say to you, if you were an unborn baby in your mother's womb, which should be the safest place a baby could be, right? If you were an unborn baby in your mother's womb and your mother had an appointment to see a doctor about getting a prescription for RU486, how would you feel? An unborn baby, how would you feel? You see, you'd have to think a little bit. Have to think a little bit. And that's a wonderful thing to talk to your kids about. And there's opportunity like that from the playground to junior high to high school, when they're cut from the team, when they weren't elected cheerleader, when they weren't invited to the party, when they had a wonderful time on a night. There are all kinds of teachable moments. And in the process, you're giving your kids a worldview. A worldview. This is the wisdom approach. And you're confident that your kids see that God and the Bible and the church is of highest priority in your life, because all of life, the whole world is full of God and His principles and of life. Then they have a worldview. And you say to these kids as they get older, who are you? And they say, I'm a product of the creative hand of God, and I was made by prescription by God before the foundation of the world. That's who I am. Oh, that's a big answer, isn't it? When our kids begin to understand that. And you say, why are you here? I am here to get a message to the world. I am here to worship God, and my life is unique, and I am to deliver a message to the world that is unique and unrepeatable, and a message that will never get out unless it comes through my life. That's why I'm here, for purpose. God designed me, wrote a prescription for me. I'm here for the very purpose of God. Where are you going? They will be intelligent enough to know that we are in the land of the dying and they're going to the land of the living. We're not in the land of the living, going to the land of the dying. They will know we're in the land of the dying, going to the land of the living. That's where I'm going. And death and the fear of death has lost its sting to them. You see what's happening? They are developing a worldview about God and Christ and church and how it all fits together. And you have taught them to think for themselves, and you have used the wisdom approach as they have understood Scripture, as they worship the Lord, as they've grown up in that Christian home, as you talk about life in an inclusive kind of way. I submit those who've taken the wisdom approach, you are building spiritual stuff, stability and security in your son and your daughter that'll stand the test of the storms. Mom and dad's not there, or they're way in the other side of the house and they're basically unchaperoned. And your daughter is there with a guy that's about 2 years older, and her best friend is with them, and she's with a guy about a year older. Both of the girls, your daughter and her friend, are Christians. They would say, oh yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. Oh yes, I'm a part of the church. They're at this party and they're dancing and they have loud rock music going on. You'd expect that. And all the guys are drinking beer and you'd expect that. Some of them have been drinking a little too much, and a couple of girls, they're sipping along with them, but you'd expect that. But then at a moment, your daughter and her date and her friend and her date, they motion to go back to a bedroom. And there, one of them has a marijuana cigarette. And they light it up, and one takes a drag and says, oh, have you ever tried this? No, just one drag. And so she looks at her friend. Her friend takes one drag and says, "Ooh." And the boy she's with, he takes just one drag. "Ooh." And they hand the cigarette to your daughter. What does she do? If you brought that daughter up in a full court press kind of legalistic, pietistic, sheltered, wall-built relationship, the odds are about 50-50 whether she'll take a drag on that marijuana cigarette. She may not do it because she's afraid of getting caught and getting punished by her folks. They're so severe, she'd probably never go out again until she's at least 18 years old. It's about 50-50. If you brought your daughter up with a little dash of God, a little broccoli, you know, church is part of everything, she'll take a drag of that marijuana cigarette. You just book it, mark it down, it'll happen. Yes, it will. And I'll tell you, both of those, one who's been brought up with a super pietistic, I'm going to cram God Christ down your throat, and the one that's been brought up with just a little dash of God and all the many wonderful things that you're enjoying about life, you can be sure when they get to college and they at that rush party, or they're out with their friends, or they're out with this particular event, you can be sure they'll not stand up against the pressures of this culture, morally, sexually, you name it. You name it. But if you built a spiritual foundation in their life, you've used teachable moments, and they have a Christian worldview, and you've helped them to think and grow and develop, and they've seen the high priority of God, Christ, church in your life and your mate's life, and you have sought to model it, you have mentored it, you have loved them, you have disciplined them. Let me tell you, there is a high, high likelihood they'll stand up in the storms that will surely come to their life, in those moments of testing and temptation. You see what we're trying to say? Let me explain it like this. A little book entitled Grace is in Place opens with this story. A little girl was 12 years old. Her name was Chrissy. Her dad went to her and said, "Chrissy, how about spending the day working with me out in the yard?" She said, "Daddy, I'd love to work with you out in the yard." Until they're 12, you know, they like to do things like that. And so they charged out in the yard. She says, "What do you want me to do?" And he says, "Well, go pick up some debris around the fence out there, and I'm going to go on some errands, and you pick up all that debris, and we'll bag it up when I get back." And so she went out there and she picked up all the debris on the fence and she raked it all together. She was so proud her dad was going to come back and what they were going to do. And she said, "I know what we're going to do. We're going to paint this fence. Look how bad it looks." She said, "I'm going to get a head start." She goes in the garage, she finds some old paint, she gets a paintbrush that's stiff as a board, and she brushes it up and gets a little limber, she stirs around the paint, she takes it out of that back fence, and little 12-year-old Chrissy, she starts painting. It is hot, and she paints, and she works that old brush, and you know what it looked like. It was smeared, it was a mess, and she was hot and grimy and sweaty and had more paint on her than on the fence, but she worked so hard for about an hour, and finally her dad drove up and saw what Chrissy was doing. And he walked up behind her, and she turned around, and she says, "Daddy, I know I've made a mess. I just wanted to help you. I know you're going to paint the fence, and I'm sorry." And he said, "Chrissy, come over here, and let's sit down." So they sat down for a minute. He said, "Chrissy, I've got bad news for you. I've got worse news for you, and I've got good news for you." She said, "Well, Daddy, give me the bad news." Said, "The bad news is, with that old paint and that stiff brush, you could never have painted that fence. That brush will not operate. The paint is old, and you see all the smearing there. That would never, never work." He said, "But I've even got worse news for you. You didn't know it, but I'm going to tear down that fence today, and I've got the equipment to build another fence that is open where the breezes can blow through, because that fence is rotten, and I'm going to tear it down." She said, "Oh, all of my work." He said, "But I've got good news for you. We're going to go out and get some ice cream, and we're going to sit down and talk about how we're going to build this fence, how we're going to paint it together before it gets dark." I want you to listen carefully. What was the problem there? Chrissy had a job to do. Her daddy had a job to do. If Chrissy had done her job, just pick up some debris, it would have been okay. But she tried to do what she didn't know how to do. She didn't have the experience to do. She didn't have the tools to do. So the bottom line was, she made a mess and wasted a lot of time and energy, right? Parents, 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 hear me carefully. This is exactly what we do so many times. We try to do what only God can do for our children. We have an assignment. Our assignment is to equip our children. God's assignment is to change our children. If we try to change our children, we make a mistake. If we're in the business of equipping our children, we're putting in a firm foundation. You say, "What do you mean by God changing?" When your son or daughter reaches the appropriate age and they understand sin and they understand the price of sin and they can confess that sin and turn from that sin and they can receive Jesus Christ in their life, they become a Christian. And God, even though it may not be dramatically viewed, puts inside of them the power of the Holy Spirit, and the change there begins to take place. God changes kids from the inside. We, in turn, equip kids by teaching, by training, by loving, by discipline. That's our job. We're the equippers. God is the changer. And therefore, when temptation comes, look at the resources your son or daughter has in Jesus Christ. That's why we can be confident in the marijuana cigarette moments, whatever age they might be. Look at it in Ephesians chapter number 3. This is what your kids have inside of them. Listen, "For this reason, I bow my knees," Ephesians 3 verse 14, "for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, and He would grant you according to the riches of His glory," listen, "to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man," in the inner life, in the inner woman. Verse 17, Ephesians 3, "so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend all the saints," that is the breadth and length and height and depth, "and to know the love of God, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Your son and your daughter can draw from strength within. It is God's strength because you have equipped them using teachable moments all the way along the way and given them a worldview that's a Judeo-Christian worldview. Within, without, God changes within, we equip without, and your son and your daughter will stand against the cultural stream of this hour. Because your son and daughter will know that God has supplied a need for love inside of them that only God can supply. No human love can meet that need, and therefore they'll not move from person to person, relationship to relationship, and from job to job, and from mate to mate, because their love is satisfied with the love of God that's in their life. See it? And they can draw from the leadership of the Holy Spirit that is in their life. To summarize this, your son or your daughter will have stability and security. Where does this come from? Stability comes from knowing you are in the hand of God and knowing your children are in the hand of God. Can you think of a place that gives more stability than that? To say, my son, my daughter is in the hand of God. Is that stable enough for everybody? That you're in the hand of God, my son and my daughter is in the hand of God. Security. Security to know your son and daughter is in the plan of God. God has a plan, a design, a purpose, a dream for you, for them, for the rest of our lives, whether we're old or whether we're young. I'm in the hand of God, and I'm seeking to walk and know the plan of God. That is stability. That is security. The hand of God, stability. The plan of God, security. Thou shalt build in your children a spiritual foundation using the wisdom approach, teachable moments, worldview. They come to a personal relationship with God and Jesus Christ. Their roots go down deep from the very resources and power of God in moments of testing and decision, in the marijuana moments. Then they discover, I'm in the hand of God, and God has a plan, and I'm seeking the plan of God. And they have spiritual stability, and they have spiritual security, because their life is built on a foundation that's made out of rock.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to encourage you with a resource filled with proven truth to help you parent God's way. It's Dr. Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting, and he wrote it to help you lay a biblical foundation for life's greatest challenge and most important calling so you can raise up the next generation of children to be disciples who spread the kingdom of God. You'll discover that there are no quick fixes to the tough task of parenting. God's Word has the blueprint you need to build a Christ-centered home. So call now to request the Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in tomorrow as Dr. Young shares proven truth for how to ensure a child never loses hope.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Give us a call at 1-800-350-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255, 9255, 350, 350-9255.